You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello,
it's Josh
and Max, and we're from UMe at 6, and you're listening to the SRA Takeover.
To the SRA Takeover Show with me, Isabel.
And me, Helena.
From Insanity Radio 103.2 FM. And co-hosting the show today is the wonderful Josh and Max from the one and only UMe at 6. How are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Yep, good, thank you.
Good times.
So the guys have chosen some tracks to be played over the next hour, to which we'll be discussing the reasons for and why you've picked them, and generally having a discussion of all things music, getting to know them more, and getting to hear about the adventurous lives of you, me at six. So starting off the new year with a bang and releasing their highly anticipated new album called Night People on the 6th of Jan, what do you want to achieve in the coming year?
Bliss. Complete bliss. And utter bliss. World peace, harmony amongst all, you know, just good vibes, basically. Just travel the world, play music, and hopefully continue this crazy journey that has been UMe at 6, and just continue to enjoy it like we have already. Yeah. We've been lucky enough that we have a very devoted and loyal fan base, which is grown over the years and has given us a sort of the freedom to continue this ride. So I think there's lots of milestones that we want to achieve, whether it be, you know, getting bigger and better around the world, but also, you know, headlining big festivals over here in England, but you know, it's all part of there's a lot of work to do before we get there. So what would you like to achieve with this year, Max?
Well, I think that's already happening. Right now we're releasing our fifth record, Night People, so I'm quite happy that it's finally come around, because we've been sitting on the record for about 6-7 months now, and obviously we've been drip feeding songs online for people, because obviously it's a long time to wait since we released the actual song Night People in August. So, you know, I think it's just, it all starts really from here with this record, and just excited to see where it's going to take us for the rest of the year.
Yep. So with the, you've got a successful year coming up for yourselves, you know, as you said, you just released Night People and with the album coming out as well, so 2017 is looking to be quite busy and successful for yourselves. So if at the end of the year you had the opportunity to star in your own film, name a song you would use in the opening credits.
Well, I'm going to let my man Josh take this one, because I think this is one of your favourite songs of all time at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'd go with Tame Impala. And the song is called The Less I Know, The Better, just because the opening credits of my film would be me getting up in the morning and just sort of waking up, drawing the curtains, brushing my teeth, and then off I go, basically.
I can just imagine that reverse.
Can you imagine that?
As you open your eyes.
Yeah, just, it's a groovy song, and I'd want the opening credits of my film to feel like, man, this guy's fresh. Do you know what I mean? And that song is fresh.
It's a feel-good song.
What would your song be?
What my
song? Come on, you can think on your feet. Would you go for like some big, nasty, like sludgy song?
No,
or would you
go for like... I was thinking something like the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun.
That's nice. I like that.
It's a classic. So, yeah. And it's a great song. One of the songs that's stood the test of time. So,
true. This is The Less I Know, The Better by Tame Impala.
Down.
upcoming album Night People, it would have been around 3 years since your album Cavalier Youth back in 2014. Has that time from releasing that album to this release, has that been solely focusing on writing the album and touring, or has there been other projects?
Well, we started writing for Night People after we finished the Cavalier Youth cycle, which was at Isle of Wight Festival in 2015. And really, since then, Dan built a studio at his house, so we kind of knew that we just wanted to start writing the record for this one and not really put a time frame on it, because when you put time frames on writing music, it's sometimes you get good pressure, but sometimes it's also rush writing music that sometimes doesn't naturally evolve and come out the best way you want it to. And I think really with this record, every song on the 10 songs we have on the record all naturally develop from not being rushed, and they're the best ones from us writing them. So really it was just not having a time frame and just enjoying actually having a bit of time away, because we've been doing this for over 10 years now and it's been album, tour, another album, write, record, and in that moment of time there's no time to kind of sit back and relax and breathe and just naturally digest everything that's gone on in your life, you know. And there's been a lot that's happened for us over the 10 years that we've been a band. So I think it really helped us write this record as well, just not rushing it, you know. That's in my opinion, like, art, you can't rush art, you know. It just naturally develops and you capture and create amazing moments when you're in that mode there and then. And really this record started at Dan's studio and went from there, and just enjoying it really as a process that was a long one but an enjoyable one for all of us, I would say.
And on the talk of nighttime, what is a song that is your favourite nighttime listening?
Anything by Bon Iver is what I listen to at nighttime. It just puts me to sleep.
Yeah, well, I would agree with Josh. I think his self-titled record was a very easy nighttime listening record, but then also he released his new record last year, you know, which for me was probably one of the best records of 2016. And I'll probably put the first song on from this record, 22, over soon, just because it's a very chill, dreamy drift off in that kind of atmosphere. This is Bon Iver with the song 22, over soon.
It might be over soon.
So you've got quite a lot of renowned success and fans outside of the UK, as well as such as America, where you spent quite a lot of time recording and writing for your latest album in Nashville. What was it being like to recording over there?
Well, we've made already two records in California. We did Sinners and Cavalier Youth in California, and this time Jakir, our producer, was based in Nashville, and we were attracted to the idea of recording somewhere that wasn't California, to be honest, because after a while that place gets a little bit tedious, in the sense that there's just a lot going on that has nothing to do with making a record, and I think we wanted to have focus and experience something new, but in general we love going there and being in that country, and yeah, I think us and America just seems to work in terms of making records, and we were lucky to go and record at Blackbird Studios, which is historically is a well-renowned, famous studio, and working with a Grammy Award-winning producer, that is Jakir. And I think, I don't know, I feel like it's a sort of different pace, wasn't it, recording there rather than in LA?
We did it differently compared to how we've ever done it before, where normally in a recording process we'll be there for 2-3 months doing it all in one time frame, where this time we split up into two sections, which was, I think, refreshing but also vital for the record, because once we did the first session in February, we had time to come back to improve those songs but also to write more songs that were, in my opinion, vital for this record. So if we didn't have that space in between, we wouldn't have songs like Plus One or Brand New or Take on the World wouldn't be where it is because of that time period. And to me, these are crucial songs to the record. And I think it's just one of those moments where you look back and go, it was really nice to do it in a different way, because when you're recording your fifth record, you want to make sure that it's new and exciting and fresh, because you want to kind of feel that musically when you're listening back to a record as well. And that period in between February till May was, we could go back and digest the songs that we recorded the first time round and really listen to them and be like, are we happy with this? Do we want to release this to the world? And there was definitely moments that when we came back, we're like, no, we want to change this part, we want to change that part. And we had the opportunity to do that instead of going, oh, you've finished 2-3 months of recording now, there's the product, there it's finished, you know. And you can sit back and listen to it for the first time and go, I wish I did this or I wish you did that, because a lot of musicians will always be like that. So, you know, for me, I think it was important, and I think everybody else in the band would agree that it was refreshing to do the recording stage like this.
Yeah, definitely. So you spent quite a lot of time in America. Is there a song that particularly makes you think of America?
Well, it's by a guy called J. Cole, and it's a song called Power Trip. And I think for us, this was when we were kind of recording Cavalier Youth. It was in the summer of 2013, and this record, Born Sinner, just came out, and we just constantly played this song. And it's just like one of those real upbeat, kind of just like bounce your head along to it, and like when it's sunshine and out, and it is the dream. But I think it's just one of those songs that, like, I think this song really pushed this artist out to a new level and kind of got the recognition that he deserved for a fair few years. But it's just also, when you hear a good song and a good melody, you can't deny that, and this song's got all the platforms. So, Josh, what is this song again?
This is Power Trip by J. Cole.
Got me up all night. All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. Down and out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Drowning out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah, all I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah, constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah, down and out with these love songs. She got me open all night. Got me open all night.
Okay, back when I was sleeping in my mama crib, or even back when I was up there in my homie crib, paying $1,700 for the rent, money well spent, no heater but may eat, may I vent, had a thing for you, even wrote the song Dreams for you, cause I had dreams for your thoughts of a ring for your childish, you know childish, anonymous flowers sent, you know cowards,
Now, not a hoe, took a power trip back home. I'm grown now, and the city's my throne now, huh? The same clubs that I used to get tossed out. Life got crisscrossed, totally crossed out. Cause now I'm in this and I'm totally bossed out. Old chicks crying cause they know that they lost out. But I'm still on you, I'm still on you. My drinks spill on me while I fell on you. I'm saying,
would you believe me if I said I'm in love? Baby, I want you to want me. Would you believe me if I said I'm in love? Baby, I want you.
And we are, we are, we are.
This has gotta be the longest crush ever. If I ever get a, be the longest ever. Love is a drug like the strongest stuff ever. And that I'm on one, you feel me? She on a power trip, she got me where she wanted. Wife in the club, man, my homies gon' disown it. Like, give me $20, ask stupid how you get to college. I'm in your city and I'm wondering if you're home now. Went and found a man, but I'm hoping you're alone now. Can't help but feeling like I dropped the ball, cliche. I used to pop up on you at the mall each day. Now typically I kick game like East Bay, but you got a freeze frame yelling, please play. For Pete's sake, homie, pull it together. Just up one time and be through it forever. But
would you believe me if I said I'm in love? Want me? Would you believe me if I said I'm in love, baby? Watch ya, yeah.
And we are, we are, we are. Got me up all night. And we are, we are, we are. Always singing this love song. And we are, we are, we are. Got me up all night. And we are, we are, we are.
She got me.
We are, we are, we are.
She got me.
All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night.
All night.
Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night.
All night.
Down and out with these love songs. She got me up all night.
All night.
Down and out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. Down and out with these love songs. She got me open all night. Got me open all night. Hey.
So you guys have released four singles from the album Night People, Night People, Plus One, Give and Swear. And especially Night People has been successful with over 3 million views to date. We've already chatted about Night People, so now I want to move on to the song Swear. What inspired the music video for the song?
Well, we feel that our band is sort of... one of its strengths is playing on a live stage.
Yeah.
And we haven't really, except for maybe a long time ago with one of our songs called Reckless, we haven't really done a video that's incorporated live footage of us on stage with the crowd. And yeah, we just sort of Swear was one of those energetic songs that really, that, you know, marriaged quite well with that idea. So
and the visuals of our live show as well, when people do
yeah
go,
it's visually stunning.
Yeah, when people want to have
captivating.
A, yeah, when people just want to have a good time. And I think that's what UMI at Six shows are all about, aren't they? Just people going, having fun, jumping up and down and getting sweaty at a rock and roll gig, you know. For us, it was this visual effect, because it could, you could just do a normal live video, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
to us, we, it was like, how do we make this a little bit more special? How do we make it visually attractive for somebody to watch there, instead of you're just watching a live show? We want it to feel like you're kind of carrying on from Night People into this song, and you still got the same feel and aesthetics to the
yeah
song.
So what, in the, what, name a song that inspired Swear, if you can.
I think it's quite difficult, because it's just, I think it's just real kind of groove. It's just like, I think for the drum kind of style, our man was comparing it to an old band called the Doobie Brothers, because it's kind of got this real shuffle on the drums and the bass. But then to moments like in the mid late, which is really heavy, it was kind of like, I was looking at bands like Queens of the Stone Age that I listened to, and how do you make a big heavy sound that's not like metal heavy, but just like, whoa, it just sounds massive. And I think Queens of the Stone Age have replicated this on their album called Songs for the Deaf, and that was one of my all time favourite records, to be honest with you.
have had many sellout headline tours, and I can imagine being on a tour bus together and when choosing which music to play, you know, when you're bored and you want to listen to some tunes, is there any conflict in choosing what music is played, or is it like a collective song that you and Me at Six play?
Well, we sort of have a deal. We don't, well, not a deal, but we sort, there's like a mutual unspoken agreement that we don't listen to rock music unless it's rock music that is really different from us. Would that be fair to say? Because once you've been on stage playing our stuff for an hour and a half, we then don't want to go on the bus and listen to the same sort of sounding. Max has got an incredibly eclectic taste in music, so he's always bringing all sorts of stuff to the table. I would say everybody, maybe minus Chris. Chris isn't really into hip hop, is he? He likes
Chris,
some stuff.
Yeah, Chris likes some stuff, but
he's not really in the same lane as us four when it comes to, you know, we'll sort of listen to anything from Kendrick Lamar to Childish Gambino to J. Cole.
Even down to the old school stuff like A Tribe Called Quest and Run DMC to, you know, NWA.
Keep it fresh, you know?
I think for us, it's just kind of listen to any style or genre of music. Really kind of helps you as a musician to kind of write differently and take a lot of inspiration from different styles of music that you can put into your own kind of music as well, which sounds mental when you talk about hip hop music with our band. But if you listen to like Night People, there's an undercurrent of electronic beats that's going on there that makes your head kind of just keep ticking away, like the old school 90s hip hop that you're listening to House of Pain, you listen to Jump Around, your head's kind of just constantly doing this bounce, where that's what we try to incorporate. As much as it says this album's inspired by hip hop, it doesn't sound hip hop, but it's our interpretation of what inspired us.
Hip hop is way more than the music as well. Like, hip hop is a story. It's a lyrical thing. And actually, Kendrick Lamar, the song that we're going to play now is the song called Swimming Pools by Kendrick Lamar. And like, A, it's a great, great song for drinking games because it says drank about, I don't know, maybe 50 times in the song.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you listen to him and when he tells a story, it's very, you know, same with a guy called Immortal Technique. They're the sort of, and actually to an essence, not necessarily like his big top 40 chart songs, but Drake, if you listen to his storytelling and narrating through hip hop, it's that's one of the most powerful things, really. And there's nothing more powerful than just one man or a woman with a microphone and their voice just, you know, going to town, basically.
Look at Lauryn Hill, storyteller.
Bad man.
Storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we playing then?
Drank.
No,
we're playing Kendrick Lamar, Swimming Pools.
Frank. Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Fade it.
Frank.
Fade it.
Nah, I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels, some people wanna kill their sorrow, some people wanna fit in with the popular. That was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'ma get f***ing up my cup. I see the crowd mood changing by the minute, and the record on repeat. Took a sip, then another sip, then somebody said to me, "Fucking, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor, and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pour.
Drink.
Headshot.
Drink.
Sit down.
Drink.
Stand up.
Frank,
pass out.
Frank,
wake up.
Frank,
fade it.
Frank,
fade it.
Frank,
Okay, now open your mind up and listen to me, Kendrick. I'm in your conscience. If you do not hear me, then you will be history, Kendrick. I know that you're nauseous right now, and I'm hoping to lead you to victory, Kendrick.
If I take another one down, I'ma drown in some poison, abusing my limit. I think that I'm feeling the vibe. I see the love in her eyes. I see the feeling of freedom is granted as soon as the damage of vodka arrived. This how you capitalize. This is parental advice. And apparently, I'm over-influenced by what you are doing. I thought I was doing the most that someone said to me.
Again, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I gotta swim.
swimming pool full of liquor and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pour.
Frank.
Headshot.
Frank.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Fade it.
Frank.
Fade it.
Frank.
Frank. Alright, you ride. Bang. One chopper. 100 shots. Bang. Hop out. Do you bang? Two chopper. 200 shots. Bang. Alright, you ride. Bang. One chopper. 100 shots. Bang. Hop out. Do you bang? Two chopper. 200 shots.
Bang. Why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pour.
Drink.
Headshot.
Drink.
Sit down.
Drink.
Stand up.
Drink.
Pass out.
Drink.
Wake up.
Drink.
Fade it.
Drink.
Fade it.
So you first formed the band back in 2004, and you reached quite a successful point back in 2008 with the release of your debut album, Take Off Your Colours. And ever since, 12 years later, you've been getting bigger and bigger. What has been the most memorable moment so far in your career?
I think it's quite difficult to say what's been the most memorable, because there's obviously multiple times that we're going to look back and remember stuff. But I think myself personally would probably be playing the London Astoria, which has sadly now been knocked down. It was a haven where I used to spend a lot of my youth going to gigs there. And on that record, especially that you talked about, Take Off Your Colours, we were lucky enough to be the last unsigned band to headline it. And I think that's always something that I'm going to remember, that venue that held a lot of my youth there was kind of ended off with us being the last unsigned band selling it out. And it was just one of those memorable venues that I think at that time it going was such a big deal for everybody in the music industry, but also kind of having a happy way of looking at being like, from being there when I was younger going to gigs to playing it would be a highlight for me.
Personally for me, I mean obviously there's obvious ones, you know, getting a number one album or playing main stage at Reading and Leeds the amount of times we have now, but similarly to Max, it's something that when I was 15, I'm sure maybe you girls might have been too young for the MySpace days, but us old, well, not old, like 25, 26, you know what I mean? We used to have a thing called MySpace before Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. And I wrote my MySpace page that by the time I'm 20 years of age, UMIS6 is going to headline and sell out Brixton Academy. Like, I just had that in my head for years and years, and every time I used to go to Brixton, like Max with the store, I used to see all my favourite bands there, and I was obsessed with this idea of, if you've not been to Brixton, it's got these sort of the sides of the venue are almost like
theatre-esque
with like weird like little balconies of almost plants on it. It's very strange, and I used to love seeing the no crowd surfing sign and then always crowd surfing. Like, it was just the funniest thing. And I think playing that venue, the night we played that, I just remember, like, I don't want to say I was in bits because that makes you sound like a bit of a weirdo, but I was definitely very, very emotional about it, because I realised that we'd done it by the age of 19 for me, and I just sort of couldn't believe that
we had a year to spare.
Had a whole year to play with as well, but to be 19 and to headline Brixton Academy and sell it out was, you know, there's not many people that do that in their teens. So yeah, a massive moment for us for sure.
Is there an old song that you miss playing live?
Yeah, I've personally, if we're talking about Take Off Your Colours, there's a song called Tigers and Sharks that I think, which is really funny, that a song that we wrote God knows how long ago now on our first record, that I could still go back and listen to it and be like, this could probably fit with still what we do now to this date, you know. And for me, that shows that our band's progression was a real progression, because a song from your first record could still to me be played in our live set now, and that's a song called Tigers and Sharks.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. And also, I kind of missed the I kind of miss playing, I can't really say this, but I miss playing Say It For The Bedroom, just in the sense that that was the first song that people heard from UMI at Six, again going back to the whole MySpace era. But I remember that was the song that had the most views, or not views, but I guess plays, and that's sort of what got the attention. That's why we were sort of, they used to have like these charts on MySpace for like the number one, the top 10 unsigned bands, the top 10 signed bands or whatever, and we were always in the number one or in the top five unsigned bands, and it was because people were playing this song to death. And I miss sort of that feeling of playing that opening of the song and just seeing people lose their nuts. So, you know, even though we're not, as Max said, I'm not sure whether it necessarily fits with where we are musically now, and I don't know if it would feel strange or fake playing songs like that, but I'm sure there will be a time over the next few years. There's a 10-year anniversary for that record coming up in 2018, and there's going to be opportunities for us to do something special with that. So I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to revisit them. And, you know, who knows, maybe in the tour coming up in a few months, maybe I'll convince the lads to play Set For The Bedroom. You never know. Depends how much money I pay them.
Show!
So now that we've begun the new year, this means it's time for 2017's festivals. So what's your favourite festival growing up? Was it the V Festival, Reading Festival? Because you don't live too far from Reading.
It's got to be Reading for us. I mean, I remember I used to be so jealous of Max because he was allowed to go to Reading and my parents didn't let me go. So, like, the first few years of our friendship, I'd be like, dude, how is Reading? And he'd be like,
losing my mind.
You have no idea how good it was and you're such a loser for not going.
You know that we're saying, like, on night people, you have that Friday or Sunday bender. I think I had a Wednesday till Monday bender with my first friend in Leeds, well, Reading Festival. And something that probably always stick by me even now that when you go to a festival for the first time, you're always going to remember what happened. And I lost my voice by the Saturday. I was going mental, seeing my favourite bands, getting dragged out on the Sunday, being like, we've got to go. And I'm like, no, we're not going. So, you know, I think for us,
and that feeling of like walking through, you know, from the campsite through into the gates of like the main arena, it's that feeling of like, what am I going to experience today? Like, what can happen? Anything can happen. And I sort of, being in a band is great, but then when, obviously for so many reasons, but there are certain magical moments in life that you can't necessarily relive anyway, period, in life. But especially once you've seen the other side and you've seen the VIP catering and the sort of, you know, that life or whatever, you can't really go back out. And we've done it a few times. We've gone around the site and it's been a bit chaotic trying to get around, but it's been fun because it's a reminder of, I'll never forget the first time I went to Reading. It was just like walking into
a jungle.
A jungle, a dream scenario of seeing, as Max said, all of our favourite bands. And I mean, there's so many bands that I saw like opening the main stage who are now headlining the main stage, you know, and it's sort of that thing of, I don't know, I remember looking at the main stage thinking, wow, I imagine looking out and just seeing, you know, a sea of people. I wonder what that's like. And I think that's why Reading is special to us, is because we didn't just get massive and went straight on the main stage. We've almost played every stage, you know, from Festival Republic to the Rage 1 and Enemy tent, and then eventually we ended up on the main stage. And
going back to it now and playing the secret set at the pit stage, which used to be called special. Concrete Jungle back when we were going there.
But yeah, that was a special moment in the summer when we you know, it's a great a great honour to be asked by Reading and Leeds to be the secret act. And I think we were the first secret act. Oh no, I believe Foles did it as well, but to play both Reading and Leeds, and we didn't want to miss out on Leeds because it's always been it's almost like our spiritual home. Other than Surrey, we sort of grew up living in the early years of being in a band. We would live in Leeds when we were touring, basically.
We were writing Take Your Three Colours in Leeds.
Yeah. You
know? So for us, it was where our first management was, our first label. Record label was. We wrote the first record, basically. So for us, that is, as much as Surrey, as Josh was saying, is our home, Leeds would be our second home.
Yeah, so Surrey and Leeds. Mm. So what's your favourite festival sing-along song then?
Dum, ba, dum, 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 dum. Because you hear it everywhere in the world. You hear that bass line. So bass, I think everybody can tell it is the White Stripes of Seven Nation Army.
Thank you.
Just repeating what Helena said about you've got such an exciting and undoubtedly successful year ahead of you. Are there any major aims you want for this new year?
I think it's just to carry on playing live shows for audiences who like live music and music in general, and to win new fans over if they've not been a fan of UMIT 6 before, for them to listen to this record with fresh ears and digest it in a new way, because it's not what we've kind of done before in the past, and really just having a good time in 2017, because I think a lot of people can agree that 2016 was a bit of a stinker on many levels, that this year's just got to be about enjoying yourself and not looking at the negatives and look at the positives. And for us, it's releasing this record and going out there playing a lot of live shows, playing a lot of festivals, and you know, that is what we do, and we want to put on shows for people that enjoy live music and come have a good time with UMIT 6.
Leaving a positive footprint as well. You know, as you said, 2016 was a stinker, but I think we've all got responsibility as a new year. Everyone gets a new start, a fresh start in a new year. And I'd like to think that, you know, people will be sitting there thinking, right, how can I project a positive energy into not only the people that are close to me in the world, but the world in general. And I think that, you know, this is the first time in a long time where I've really looked at life in a whole different way, and I think for us, I just really want to go and travel with this band and be to the place, go and visit the places we haven't visited as a band, in all corners of the earth, and just really make sure, regardless of how big or how small the live shows are, just to make sure that we really we just really make the most of it and try and not let the pressures of being in a successful band, if you want to call them that, sort of overshadow how simple it should really be. And that's just the relationship between the fans and us, and that's something that I really want to, you know, get my head into.
And as we begin a new year, is there a song that you, UMIT 6, have as an anthem for 2017?
I think it's sort of strangely become its own anthem already. I mean, the record hasn't even come out, and this was just originally, we put it up as a thing called an instant grat, so that when you pre-order the album, you would get it straight away on your device, whatever it might be. But our song Give seems to have sort of taken a life of its own, and the fans have just decided it's the favourite already on the record, which is really, again, it doesn't matter how many, and this is not a diss to them in any way, but it doesn't matter how many NR people or how many, you know, record people you put in a room, and everyone tries to decide what should be your single and what's a great song or not. Ultimately, it's it's down to the people to decide what they like and what they dislike. And I think Give is really going to turn into an anthem for UMIT 6, because already in the last, 8 weeks it's been out, it's, as I said, sort of taken a life of its own. So that's really exciting, and I look forward to playing that all over the world and stages all over the world. So, yeah, I think Give.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We wish you all the best of luck for the new album release, and happy and successful new year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you very much for starting off 2017 in the right way.
It's been a day, it's felt like an age since I have seen you, a face to face so we can say what we mean to. I know you've changed, you don't look the same. I made mistakes, it's growing pains, it's just a phase we have to go through. I've been wasting all this time trying to keep the view of my mind, yeah, view of my mind, but no more. I've been wasting all these nights trying to keep the view of my mind, yeah, view of my mind, no more. How long should I wait to feel myself again? 'Cause I know that you hate me. When we're side by side, we're going to separate away. This time, I'm trying to keep you off my mind.